And now, a word from our sponsors.
Need a catch-up session on what you missed last week? Now you're listening to ArchD Radio, the podcast mix.
ArchD Life FM, James here with you this evening. Hope you're having a really rip-roaring and wonderful time. Joined by the wonderful award-winning podcaster, Caitlin Alexander.
Hi, great to be here again.
Lovely that you've come down. You're here as a co-interviewer today, so this is new. Because you're literally just about to start on kind of like a new chapter for you. I talk a little bit about what it is that you're doing, and maybe what kind of inspired you to want to do this now.
Yeah, okay. So, well, I am about to start my course at the Australian Radio School with Sean Craig Murphy.
Local radio legend he is. Yep.
So that starts next week and I'm really pumped about it. And I think what really inspired me to get back into it is that I've been working as a nurse for the past 4 and a bit years. And it was sort of getting to a point where I was feeling like what I really enjoyed the most about nursing was the people, was talking to people, hearing their stories, telling my stories. And I sort of got to a point where I was like, I don't know if I want to do this for the next 40 years. I think I just want to talk. I'm really good at talking and I think I could make a career out of it.
Was that something that was becoming like, I mean, I know these things can sometimes become an issue when you work in those kind of like patient-facing roles when sometimes your superiors go like, you know what, we really need you to be doing more of the actual nursing bit and less of the actual talking bit. Was that ever something that came up?
I swear I did do my job. I did a lot.
I'm not saying you were negligent.
No, I've done pretty well for myself, I feel. I've been a matron is what they used to call it. So the team leader on the floor for the past 3 and a bit years, which is quite impressive to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I've only been out of uni since 2020, I think. And I started team leading as like a matron probably about 6 months out.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that ever since. And I run the floor. So I feel like I have done a fair bit with my nursing. And I've also done a postgrad in palliative care. So I've got a postgrad so I've got that under my belt as well. But I just felt radio has always been my passion.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since 2014. And I thought
you were a year nine, weren't you, when you started?
Yeah, I was a little year nine talking about Vegemite toast. And I just felt like I owed it to myself to really give radio a really big shot and see where I could do with it.
Oh, well, you know that you are welcome here anytime. We'll try to get you on as often as we possibly can.
Please.
And I'm thrilled that this is where you've come to.
I know.
In your life. We are here, though. We are interviewing today a wonderful guest, Sanjay Mohanaraj. Did I get that right, Sanjay?
Mohanaraj, yep, you got it.
No, I didn't get it. You said it. How often do you, like, you must have become quite like often a dab hand at correcting people. No, you're absolutely right. They're pronouncing it completely different. So, Mohanaraj.
Mohanaraj.
Yeah. Mohanaraj. Okay, lovely. Wonderful. Thank you very much for coming and being the guest here on the show today. We've got lots to talk about. You're currently working at the moment over at the Archdiocese of Adelaide. This is a new chapter in your life as well. Can you talk a little bit about what the role is and what drew you towards it?
Definitely. So I'm part of the pastoral services team of the Archdiocese. I'm in the Office for Justice, Healing and Inclusion. So it's a
big title.
Yeah, it's a big title.
What does it actually mean?
So my actual title is Pastoral Support, Justice, Healing and Inclusion.
Okay.
But it encompasses, focus on social justice work. So we work closely with multicultural communities. We've worked closely with Caritas Australia as well. So that's kind of one aspect of my position. The other aspect is in the sphere of Laudato Si and ecological sustainability, and also the focus on inclusion as well.
Okay.
So a bit of a mixed bag, but incredibly interesting and, you know, really at the grassroots level in terms of working with people.
It's very exciting time, I guess, for us in the Catholic Church, because people who aren't Catholic might not know that it's actually a big part of our theology, like kind of what it is we do, to be looking after the environment and taking care of the earth, to the point where Laudato Si, what you referred to, was actually the title of an encyclical, like a really big document that the Pope put out a few years ago saying, you know what, this is really, really important right now that we be doing this stuff. But when you talk about inclusion, I mean, that could mean all sorts of different things. I mean, what does that mean for you in a day-to-day way?
Well, I guess for me, it's focusing on how we as just people can be more welcoming and more accepting. And especially working as part of a church body, you know, how we teach, you know, loving thy neighbor, you know, and you know, a place for everyone to be welcomed in, and a place of community for everyone. So for me, inclusion is merely that, you know, a space where we can welcome all, whatever walks of life you come from, you know, whatever backgrounds you come from, there is a place for you. And we're here to support that.
Brilliant. Sanjay is our very special guest today, currently working in the Archdiocese of Adelaide in the pastoral support, inclusion, working, I think, with multicultural communities as well. Is that a big part of it for
you too? Yeah, that's a big part of it. Absolutely. Yeah. So
for you, that's where, like, there's a lot of, I guess, background there, because you did come from somewhere overseas when you were, I think 13, you mentioned, wasn't it? For you, like, growing up, was church something that was a part of your life, your family's life growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, till today we are weekly churchgoers.
Right.
So,
as a family, you go together.
Okay, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
That hasn't changed.
So, we, growing up as a young kid in Malaysia, we had a very strong Catholic faith. My grandmother on my mom's side of the family, you know, kind of instilled that. My mom came from a big family, a family of eight, and faith was a big part of our family. Mm. And so we grew up in the faith, and a lot of what we did was around church. You know, church was a space where we could, you know, come together, you know. And I used to remember growing up as a young kid, and especially during Easter and Christmas, my grandmother always was like, okay, cool, we've got to sit down. We will do the rosary together on one day. We'll go to prayer service. You know, we've got Good Friday service. We have got to go to a Holy Thursday Mass, Easter Saturday Mass. And it just became part of what we did.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So going back, so you've been going to church for your whole life.
Yeah, my whole life.
Is there one particular memory that really stands out for you?
Yeah, I know as a young kid, you know, you don't really know why you were going to church.
Yeah.
I went to church. You know, like mom said, you had to go to church, you got to go to church. But I used to remember very different realm, you know, going to church in Malaysia, you know, massive churches there, and, you know, they cater for thousands of people. And I used to remember as a young kid going for 8:30 morning mass, you know, and it's boiling hot, you know, and you're sweating and you're in your Sunday best, sitting there and just melting away.
Oh, no!
And you're going like, why am I here? Kind of thing. But then I look back now, you know, as a young adult, and I was those moments, you know, that really formed who I am today and how my faith has grown today. And back then, maybe not fond memories as a young kid.
Sitting there sweating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's definitely stuck with me.
Oh, I think, see, this is such a huge contrast between Malaysia going to church and Australia, because I remember as a kid going to church and freezing.
Yeah.
The church was so cold, and you'd be sitting there rubbing your hands together trying to keep warm. And when I was going to church at school as well, you'd be sitting on your hands trying to warm them up because it was so cold. So it's interesting that contrast. But it's something that we both remember quite vividly is, you know, the temperature, which is unusual. 100%. But
Well, also it's, you know, deeply affected by the fact that you grew up in Mount Barker where it's 12 degrees on a hot summer day.
Yeah,
so
okay,
it's like, the temperature, it always does.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't regulate temperatures in churches very well. Maybe that's something to think about. Maybe that's something you can bring back to the Archdiocese of Adelaide. Like, air conditioners, guys, come on. I've been around for like years.
And now,
James and Kaylin here with you this evening. How are you, Kaylin?
I'm really good.
Having a good time so far?
Yes, so far so good.
Excellent, good time. Sanjay Mohanraj is our very special guest. He is from the Archdiocese of Adelaide. It's the first time he's been on the show, so welcome.
Thank you.
Hope it's
much.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Hope it's all happening. You're comfortable. You're relaxed.
Yes,
excellent.
Definitely.
Wonderful. I did want to talk about, though, you've just given us a story about your background growing up in Malaysia, Catholic family, big Catholic family, and also, you know, very different sort of mass experiences as well growing up in that culture. For you, was there a moment when you really went, this isn't just something now that I go and do with my family. This is something that I'm actually choosing for me. I'd love to know for you, was it a definite moment? And like, when was it, if it was?
Yeah, definitely. I think I would say when we moved to Australia in 2005, I was 13 years old, I was going to high school, and I guess the defining moment when I was like, you know, this is actually kind of more important and has a bigger part to play in my life was we just moved into our new home in 2007 and we were going to our local church, literally two streets away, mm-hmm. and still the same parish that I attend till today. Mm. And there was a bit of an advertisement for a youth group available at the church, Oblate Youth Australia. And I went, my dad literally brought the bulletin home and he was like, oh, they're having a retreat at the beginning of the year. You and to my brother, he was like, you guys are going to go. And so we had no choice coming from an Asian background, you know. And so he was like, nope, you're going kind of thing. And I actually thank my dad for that because from that point, we went for that retreat and that was a click. And
why? What happened?
I think I found like-minded people. I found people that I could talk about my faith quite easily, people who understood it. And I guess also young people who were invigorated by having a faith and wanting to do something, you know, with that faith instead of just attending church, you know,
yeah.
There was ideas of like doing social justice work, you know, there were ideas of building youth ministry to a much larger effect, that can affect a bigger variety of people. So I think that kind of spearheaded everything. And I've been part of Oblate Youth Australia for 16 years now. You know, I've done youth ministry for that long. And so simultaneously, you know, I was in Oblate Youth Australia and I also was part of the Antioch group. I was part of the Teachigalli Parish. And so I met a lot of people in that sphere and youth friends who I still have today that I've known for 16 years of my life, you know, and they're still a very dear part of me and, you know, my formation in becoming who I am today. And then through that experience, going on events like World Youth Day, I've been to three World Youth Days, you know, across those years. Recently, I went to the one in Portugal last year and had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land as well, which was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Yeah,
talk about that. It's something I've wanted to do for a very long time.
Yeah. I remember coming back and talking to many of my friends who weren't Catholics and I said one of the most amazing parts about the Holy Land was you don't even need to be religious to understand just the gravity of where you were. Mm. Just the rich history and the culture of the area was enough for anyone to fall in love with it. Mm. And I remember our tour guide, you know, taking us to places and he's like, oh, this was built in the 1st century and the 4th century. And I'm just standing there going, how is this still here?
Like, yeah.
That's incredible. Mm. So that was very much, you know, cliche as it sounds, quite a life-changing experience.
Mm.
And it stuck with me. And I think it'll stick with me for a long time.
I think what really prompted me to get very interested in wanting to do it, because I've often thought, like, people talk about it and where we work here, it's something that gets brought up a lot. But it was when someone did go and they came back and wanted to have a sort of a discussion with people about what happened and all of those sorts of things. And they said, oh, we went down into the, I think it was the river in which Jesus was baptized. Yeah, they went and actually went there. Yeah.
In the River Jordan.
Yeah. And showed pictures of it. And she's clearly there being incredibly emotional because she's being blessed there. And she said, I don't know if this is legal to do this. I brought back a bottle of water from the river.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And passed it around to us and it sort of allowed us to bless ourselves with this water. We were all incredibly emotional because it's like you go, oh my God, this is really, this is truly walking in the footsteps of, and I'm getting like, hairs on the back of my arm standing up just thinking about it because it was incredible. So to be able to spend that time really walking in those spaces and going, this happened here.
Definitely.
Was that what that was like in those moments?
Every step of the way. We actually did the pilgrimage, which involved the footsteps of Jesus.
Yeah.
So we started in Bethlehem and were in the Sea of Galilee and then finished off in Jerusalem and actually went to those locations, historic locations, walked the path that he would have walked. And like you were saying before, just constant shivers.
Yeah.
Like just the magnitude of where you were was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
James and Kaylin here with you this evening with our very special guest, Sanjay, who is now working at the Archdiocese of Adelaide. It's wonderful to have you here, Sanjay. Some great stories here. You probably have touched on this already in some way or another, I tell you what, I really want to ask this question because I know that prior to working for the Archdiocese in office, you were working at Xavier College, you're working as a teacher, you were there for a number of years, musical theatre being a very big part of that. There must have been so many inspirational moments that happened because I know that when you work, because, you know, I was a drama kid at school and I went on and stayed at university as well, you do form a really... a unique bond with students when you're actually working with them in a creative field, especially when they are so triumphant as well. Because in those moments, they realize, you know, so much of their talent emerges, confidence and their ability to see what it is they're capable of doing in entertaining an audience. It's an incredible way to observe and journey with them. For you along the way doing those sorts of things, has there been like a particular moment, even a small thing maybe, that really stands out to you as being, you know, that's the golden thing and that really sums up what this is all about for me?
Oh, definitely. As someone, like you said before, I've been involved in theatre ever since I can remember. Massive passion of mine. And being able to have the privilege of directing musicals at Xavier College was... It was a mix of emotions, I would say. You know, it's an experience. It's a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears, you know, you have your ups and downs. But I think when you get to that point where you're on stage, you know, you sing these kids on stage and they're just giving it their all and they're just loving every minute of it. And for me, those are the moments that, you know, make me... I look at it and I go like, I love what I do. And I guess for me, looking at the progress that kids take, you know, when you start with that first rehearsal and they're all nervous and they're all jittery and they're like, I don't think I can do this. And, you know, you have those moments along the way and then you see them develop and you see them go, no, I can do this. You know, the confidence builds over time. Then you see the relationships they build with each other.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point where you're like, I've done everything I can do here. You know, they're just soaring on stage and they're so confident. For me, the most heartwarming is when the show all ends, you know, and that like kind of release and that like, relief, oh my gosh, in a way.
Done it.
Yeah. We've done it. But the feedback that comes after that from parents who, and I still remember like every single show that I've directed at Xavier, parents coming up and sharing how their kid has changed. I think, well, I had a parent, I had this student who, when I finished up last year with High School Musical that we did, who I worked with from year 8, and he finished off in year 12 last year. And I worked with this student on his very first show at Xavier, Mary Poppins. He was a year 8 little kid named Bert, who played Bert, sorry, as the character. And I remember he kind of came out of nowhere. We had a situation and the Bert that we casted wasn't able to do the show anymore. And it was a bit of like, oh gosh, what do we do now kind of thing. And he just appeared. And we were like, we auditioned him and he was phenomenal back then, you know, in year 8. And I just remember going, this kid has something. And I've just worked with him through those 5 years. You know, he did all our musicals through the time that he was at Xavier. He, beautiful kid, very successful kid, you know, was our college captain.
Oh, wow.
For his year 12 year. And we finished off with High School Musical last year and he finished off his final year at Xavier as well. And we had this conversation and he just went, you know, what a privilege it's been to work alongside with each other, you know, and with his family, and just actually see this kid grow from where he started to the very end in that musical sphere. So I don't know, for me, you can't replicate, you know, that feeling and that kids get from the performing arts, you know, and how many skills you develop. Not just confidence, you know, all the other multifaceted skills that you can develop through the performing arts. So it is a privilege, you know, to be able to, I guess, be able to be on stage, but also in the backgrounds as well.
Being
you know?
Able to and just watch them grow watch and them develop grow. And find their passion for something like that.
100%.
It would just warm your heart so much.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's
no worries
beautiful.
At all.
We have a moment in the show where we look at the week's gospel and go, okay, what is this actually trying to tell us? Like, where do we see this acted out in our own lives along the way? The gospel reading for this weekend is John 5, verses 9 to 17. And what the verse really is talking about is saying, like, when has been a moment where you've been surrounded by all of the rituals and kind of all of the conventions of church? And, you know, being in the Catholic Church, we are surrounded by a lot of them. It's one of those wonderfully beautiful things that we have in terms of this rich tradition. But I guess the downside of that is what we can often do is get caught up on those things and forget the true meaning of what we're really there for, because, you know, these things can be a distraction sometimes. They just can. Mm-hmm. For you, I know that you've been involved in a lot of things in church through your entire life. Was there a time when all of a sudden you realized, oh, hang on a second. No. It's not about this. It's all about this. This is what the true meaning of being in church is. And we were talking a bit while the song was on about experiences in World Youth Day, where you are surrounded with so many rituals and conventions and things like that, but also so many other big life-giving moments. Is there one that particularly stands out for you on one of your three times that you've been on World Youth Day where that's really happened?
Definitely. I think for me, those two instances, and that was when I went to World Youth Day in Brazil and recently in Portugal, and the final mass that we have at the end of the World Youth Day pilgrimage, where you're literally surrounded by millions of people, the Pope's there, you know, and you have none of those conventions. You're not in a church, you know, you don't have your altar, there's no tabernacle, you know, there's no central point really. It's just you with these people praising God.
Mm.
And the experience in Brazil was on Copacabana Beach. The one in Portugal was this massive, airstrip, you know, on the coastline. And you literally are just standing there and you're just, you know, going through the rituals of the mass. But that didn't matter. You know, you were here with people all speaking one voice. And I think what was incredible was that you all came from different parts of the world, spoke different languages. And I guess, you know, how special it is, you know, to be a Catholic, that whatever language you speak, because our order of the Mass is such, that you can follow it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I was here with my group of youth pilgrims, you know, next to people from Spain, from Italy, you know, from all parts of the world. And we all were saying, we were all speaking different languages, but all saying the same thing collectively. And then you multiply that by like millions of people and you go, this is what my faith is, you know, to be in community with each other.
It's interesting because it seems to link into what your role is at the moment with the inclusivity and being in that environment with all those people. No matter what language anyone spoke, there was so much inclusivity of everyone just coming together.
Absolutely. And just being able to, I think, replicate that, you know, in like,
can you replicate that? How do you replicate that? I'm not saying that as an exasperation. It's more like that's a really good, genuine question. Yeah. Like, how do you replicate that?
How do you replicate that? I know. I think we do a good job of it at a youth ministry level, because you know, I think with young people as well, they're a lot more flexible to change, and you know, a lot more open to all parts of our faith. And I think that's the challenge. That it really is the challenge, that how we can replicate that within our parishes, you know, not just going through the motions of, you know, attending mass and, like you were saying before, you know, standing, kneeling, etc., and following that structure so rigidly, but actually being able to replicate the essence of why we're there. That's always going to be a challenge, I guess. But I think as time's going, and you know, with my role in the Archdiocese now, it's how can we become a more welcoming church that is more kind of spiritually connected with each other, and we're speaking, you know, come from different backgrounds, but we're speaking one voice.
Yeah. I think it's been wonderful the last few years where There's been so many more larger scale things that have happened in terms of what we do in Adelaide, because it was always the case where we would often, the idea of doing World Youth Day and sending students to World Youth Day, young people to World Youth Day, but then a lot of students would come back and I'd have conversations with them, in fact, in this very setting quite often, and go, so like, what have you brought back with you? A number of times I heard people saying, it was this amazing, life-changing, transformative thing, but you kind of had to be there in order to understand what it is. And it really got me thinking about, isn't that, then how do you replicate that? Because how do you say, like, I was on Copacabana Beach with 3 million people and you know, I had this wonderful experience where I got to chat with Matt Maher once about that experience, because he'd led the music on that one. And it was this incredible thing when you see the beach and the sun going down, the South American sunset, and the silence.
Yes.
You've never heard that many, 3 million people silent. It was wild, you know, it's crazy. And so now us doing more stuff like, you know, the World Youth Day celebrations here in Adelaide, the diocesan assemblies where people are getting together and spending more time, and that's becoming more of a regular thing where people from all different parishes and all different backgrounds are getting together and talking about the issues that really matter. It's an exciting time, I think, where we're doing a lot more. Have you been along to those things as well? Have you seen?
Yeah, definitely. And especially, I know you talked about World Youth Day gatherings here, also your Australian Catholic Youth Festival gatherings as well, you know, like has been a little way to replicate, you know, those bigger experiences. But yes, definitely. We've got the Diocesan Assembly coming up in 2 months' time as well that we're heavily involved in. But great opportunities, you know, moving forward that we can, you know, bring people better connected, you know, with each other and closer together, and actually talking about issues and things that are relative at this moment in time to all of us.
You are listening to ArchD on Life FM. James and Kaylin here with you this evening. It's been wonderful having you here, Kaylin, today.
Thank you for having me
Will you come back?
Of course. I can't not come back.
I didn't even need a drum roll.
No, you no, like, drum straight roll, away. No suspense. Of course I'm coming back. You can't get rid of me.
Okay, wonderful. And a very special guest today has been Sanjay Mohanraj from the Archdiocese of Adelaide. Thank you so much for being here today, Sanjay.
Thank you very much for
having me. If you're listening to us on the radio and you've only just joined us, well, to start with, where have you been? Like, seriously. We've been here for ages. We've been waiting. Like, if you've only just joined us, we've got a podcast version as well too. If you want to listen to the whole story, there's amazing stuff. Sanjay's story is incredible. Worldwide, cross all these sorts of things with these amazing experiences, including a foray into High School Musical as well. And if you need to find out about that, you need to listen to the podcast. Just look at ArchD Radio's podcast. Look for Sanjay's wonderful smiling face, which will appear in front of you. Click on the link and you can hear the whole story. Wonderful. What are you looking forward to the most at the moment this year, Sanjay, for things that are coming up?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think really getting my teeth into this new role that I've started this year. I'm learning so much already, and you know, it's very different to teaching.
Yeah. Well, but we can both see how passionate you really are about your role. Yeah, it's been wonderful. Your face just lights up whenever you're talking about it.
Yeah, and but being able to, I guess, bring those skills that I have built through the years, you know, and you know, as we all know, something like teaching, you know, it teaches you many skills. So yeah, really, I guess, sinking my teeth into this new role and seeing what I can offer to the Archdiocese of Adelaide, and doing the best that I can do, I guess.
Wonderful. Well, we can't wait to see that and journey with you on that as well.
We are here every week with a brand new podcast version of the ArchD show. Check out all of our other podcasts, including the latest school life content on our website, archdradio.com, and find us on social media at ArchD Radio for heaps of behind the scenes stuff. Or you can catch the show when it airs on Life FM every Wednesday night from 9, every Saturday night from 10. We will see you again very soon. Bye.